Richard Thaler has spent his career studying the radical notion that the central agents in the economy are humans, predictable, error-prone individuals. He writes about his philosophy in the new book, Misbehaving, The Making of Behavioral Economics. Richard Thaler is the co-author of the best-selling book, Nudge, and is also a professor of behavioral science and economics at the University of Chicago, and for 2015 is the president of the American Economic Association. Again, the title of the new book is Misbehaving, The Story of Behavioral Economics, and we welcome Richard Thaler to the roundtable this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. What is it that you wanted to accomplish in telling us about the making of behavioral economics?
I think there are a bunch of goals here. One is to teach people about the field. Another is to kind of tell the story of how it happened. It's a story of disruption. So the title, Misbehaving, refers to not only the fact that people don't behave the way economists think they do or think they should, but the fact that by pointing that out, I was also misbehaving. And, you know, I tried to do it in a way that would be fun for the reader because I wouldn't read the book if it weren't fun. So I feel the reader's pain.
Well, the book is great fun. Let us begin with your definition of behavioral economics, of what that means, what that concept is.
Well, the concept comes from the fact that standard economics is based on a characterization of human behavior that isn't very realistic. Anybody who's taken an economics course and college knows that people are described as highly rational optimizers without any emotion or feelings or self-control problems. Homo economicus is the Latin term for this creature. I just call them econs.
Right.
And I've never met an econ. And I meet a lot of humans, and it seems to me if economics is going to be a science about behavior in markets, then we need to have a economics that includes humans.
And what it doesn't normally include is how error-prone and unpredictable humans are, right?
Right. And, well, not so much the unpredictability. Of course, we are unpredictable, but it doesn't give economists a problem if people are unpredictable. It gives them a problem if they're if they behave in predictable ways that are different from the way they're supposed to. So that's what economists get upset about.
Is there ever been a golden age where we as a culture and a people have fit the model, the economist model, the traditional economist model?
No.
So it's been flawed from the start.
Well, except that economics once upon a time was behavioral. So if you go back to Adam Smith, you know, the father of economics and the writer of The Great Wealth of Nations, his previous book was called The Theory of Moral Sentiments, and it was a theory about passions and how there's an impartial spectator inside us that's helping us control our passions. And economics remained behavioral right up through Keynes, who wrote in 1936. And then once the field started becoming highly mathematical, it kind of lost its way regarding humans.
So you talk about the behavioral, and I'm hoping you can spell out a little bit of your collaboration with psychologists in figuring this out, of really getting to the bottom of how we think about such matters.
Yeah, well, there were two psychologists who played a very important role in my life and my career. Daniel Kahneman, the author of the recent bestseller Thinking Fast and Slow, and his longtime collaborator Amos Tversky. And I first came across their work in the mid-70s, and I claim my greatest scientific discovery was the discovery of Kahneman and Tversky. It's kind of like Columbus discovering America. It was here, but he had to discover it. And they did exist before I discovered them, but not to economists. And the thing they had was the idea that we just talked about of systematic bias. They had this idea that people use simple rules of thumb or heuristics, as they're called, like the availability heuristic. You judge how likely something is by how easy it is to recall an instance of that type. And that's a sensible thing. Easier to remember things are more common, usually. But it can lead to predictable errors. So, for example, people think there are more homicides than suicides, whereas the opposite is true. And that's because we read about homicides every day and not so much suicides. So I took that idea and said, oh, that's the secret I need to do behavioral economics. It didn't exist, but there was something I wanted to do, and they had the magic ingredients. And I managed to get to spend a year with them as a young professor, and they became friends and collaborators. And Danny Kahneman to this day is my best friend and inspiration. He's still quite active at 82. I'm going to see him tonight.
You refer to yourself in the book as a professional renegade. What do you think you have accomplished in the field as a renegade?
I think the step one was embarrassment. You have to point out that really the emperor really doesn't have any clothes on, you know? See that wart? So to do that, I had to collect lots and lots of examples, because each example you point to, people have some alternative explanation for it. The bar kept getting raised, so I would give one example, and then there would be an alternative explanation, or people would say, well, the stakes aren't high enough. If you raised the stakes, then people would get it right. It was answering all those questions was stage two. And then the most important stage was to stop being defensive and start being constructive and say, okay, now that we know how people behave, what can we do with it? Probably the most successful application of behavioral economics has been to change the way 401k plans work. It used to be when you were first eligible for a 401k plan, you had to fill out a bunch of forms and decide how you were going to invest the money and so forth and so on. And the first change that behavioral economics suggested is, well, let's just switch the default and say, if you don't want to join the 401k plan, here's a form you have to sign and fill out. Otherwise, you're in.
Is that when you started to feel that what you had been working toward had entered the mainstream?
Well, that was part of it. The other thing that started to make us feel like we were entering the mainstream was lots of young people started taking up the field. And we started offering a two-week summer institute, although everybody calls it a summer camp, for graduate students from all over the world. We've been doing this for 20 years now. And some of the graduates, the early graduates from those summer camps, are now leading members of the profession. One's about to become chairman of the economics department at Harvard. He was at our first summer camp as a student. So when your students start becoming department chairs at Harvard, then you start to get an idea that people are catching on.
What do you feel, and you write about this in the book, and you end the book with this, about the future of where we can go with this?
My goal is to put behavioral economics out of business and to just make economics as behavioral as it needs to be. And I think some of the best young economists in the world right now, that's exactly what they're doing. I'm in the midst of a year serving as the president of the American Economic Association. And last year I had to organize the big annual meeting, and I had to pick somebody to give a big named lecture, and I picked a young upcoming star called Raj Chetty to give the lecture. And some of his work has nothing to do with behavioral economics, but when it's in his crosshairs, he uses it. And I think that's the future, that economists will be open-minded and put psychology or whatever they need to put into their models to help them explain the world.
In other words, we'll start behaving.
Well, we as a profession will start behaving and start looking out the window, and instead of looking at our models, that's when we'll be able to declare victory. I'm not ready to declare victory yet.
When most people, especially young people, as you say, are entering this profession and have an understanding now of what it is that you're talking about and understanding these concepts, is it easier for us to, in writing a book like this, what are the challenges do you think that most people have in grasping it and in getting it and in knowing, as you say, of knowing what's outside the window?
Well, I think it's actually easier for non-economists to get it than it is for economists. My friend Danny Kahneman has a nice phrase that he calls theory-induced blindness, which is if you see something that your theory tells you shouldn't exist, you don't see it at all. For years, I've been talking about the radical idea that people have self-control problems. Now, we live in a country where a quarter of the population is obese. Is that really controversial that people have self-control problems, that many people fail to save for retirement? No, of course not. But if you have a model that says people always choose the thing that's best for them because that's the optimal thing to do and that's what our theory says, then you leave stuff like self-control out. I think readers who are not economists, the puzzle for them might be, how in the world did anybody ever think this wasn't the case? And I think in some ways the book is a case study in what it takes to get people to change their minds. And the truth is, I have to confess, I've probably not changed very many minds. There's an old line from a German scientist, Max Planck, who said, I'm paraphrasing here. First of all, it was in German, but that science marches on funeral by funeral. Behavioral economics is catching on with young economists and students, and that's the future.
Richard Thaler is the co-author of the best-selling book, Nudge. He is a professor of behavioral science and economics at the University of Chicago, and for 2015 is the president of the American Economic Association. The title of the new book is Misbehaving, the Story of Behavioral Economics. It is published by Norton. Richard Thaler, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A delight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice talking to you.
And to you. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Misbehaving, the Story of Behavioral Economics. It is published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.